You'll turn your Bibles this morning to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, we'll be reading verses 9 through verse 12 this morning. Matthew chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. If you'll please stand in honor of reading of God's Word this morning. Matthew 2, 9 through 12, I'll read the odd numbers, verses 9 and 11, if you'll join with me on the evens, verses 10 and 12 this morning. Starting in Matthew chapter 2, verse number 9. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, again we come and we thank you so much for the reading of your word. We do pray that you'd fill the speaker with the Holy Spirit power this morning. Lord, give him the words to say. Lord, we do pray that you bless the special to prepare our hearts for the message. Lord, we need you this morning. We need you in a special way. Lord, I pray you bless the message. Again, be with the speaker. In your name we pray. Amen.
Lord Jesus, come quickly and take thy children home. Are you ready for his coming when Jesus claims his home? Christ is coming, he is coming, and we do not know the hour. Oh, sinner, you're not ready till you taste his saving power. Lord Jesus, come quickly and take thy children home. Are you ready for his coming when Jesus claims his home? As he went up into heaven, so he cometh from the sky. Oh, Christian, will you serve him? For redemption draweth nigh. He will come in power and glory, and the dead in Christ shall rise. Then we who still are living shall be caught up in the skies. Lord Jesus, come quickly and take thy children home. Are you ready for his coming when Jesus claims his home? Are you ready for his coming when Jesus claims his home?
Thank you, Brother Tom. Good song this morning. And it goes right along with what I want to speak about for the next several minutes here out of this passage. If you were here last Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Christmas Day, you recognize this passage as one that we've been speaking from these last three services, talking about the Magi's gifts, the wise men's gifts. And I want us to pray together as I bring this final, this short series of four messages on the wise men's gifts. Let's pray together this morning. And our Heavenly Father, now we lean upon you completely, wholeheartedly for these next several minutes. I trust, Lord, that you will help me as I speak. Give me the words to say, guide my thoughts, clarity of speech. More than that, Lord, I pray that you'll anoint the lips as we speak and our ears as we listen. And may truth find its way into our, not only our heads, but our hearts. Lord, get all the way through our brain matter today, down to our hearts. Speak to us. We need you to do that. Thank you for this season and all that we've enjoyed during Christmas. And help us not to miss the real reason for it. And help me this morning, I pray in Jesus' name. And amen. Said last Sunday that I might have said this, I can't remember, in the last several weeks, this is my most favorite time of the year. I think that's probably true about the year for a lot of people, the Christmas season. It's hard to rival all that goes along with the Christmas season. I enjoyed the songs. Like I said last week, as much as the world may try to squish Jesus out of Christmas, it's just very difficult for them to do that. When they play the Christmas carols and songs over the speaker systems and the restaurants and the retail stores, they are recognizing that Christmas is all about the birthday of Jesus Christ. And I love it, and I hope you had a great Christmas day. And on Christmas Day, I would imagine that the majority, if not all of the folks in this room, probably exchanged gifts, maybe Christmas Eve. Maybe you're one of the families that has five or six Christmases, and you live close enough to relatives to enjoy that. We opened ours on Christmas morning. We were able to Skype with Ben and Ashley for an hour over in Madagascar, and we watched the girls open some things that we had sent over for them, and they had some things delivered to us, and we opened gifts, and it was wonderful to be able to Skype and share that time together over the Internet. One of the good things about the Internet. Amen. So we enjoyed that. So we're talking about Christmas is about gifts. And here, even though the wise man did not come to the manger, as we said last week, one of the misconceptions about Christmas, and you see it in pictures of Christmas and so forth, is that the wise men came to the manger in Bethlehem. They came to Jerusalem because they were coming to worship the newborn king. And they went to the palace and asked King Herod, "Where is this little child that's born to be the king?" And Herod, man, that disturbed him greatly. He said to the scribes that were nearby, "What is this talk about a newborn king?" And they said, "Yes, sir, right over here in Bethlehem, 6 miles away, there's supposed to be a king born." And, of course, jealousy and envy raged in his soul. And he sent the wise men to find the child. And when you find him, bring me word that I might come and worship him with you as well. That was not his intention. His intention was to kill the Christ child because he didn't want the threat of somebody taking his throne. And actually, Satan was behind all of that because Satan knew why Jesus came to the earth. And so anyway, God foiled all that. We talked a little bit about that in one of the services recently. They went to a house. Evidently, Joseph had found a house in the area that he rented or they moved in. And the Bible says that Jesus was now a young child. So we're guessing him to be 15 months, maybe 18 months, maybe 2 years of age when the wise men from the east show up. And they'd come from a great distance. And the Bible says in verse number 11 that when they found the young child with Mary his mother, they fell down and worshipped him. Now, I want to say here, they did not fall down and worship Mary. The Bible's very clear that they fell down and worshiped Jesus Christ. Was Mary a good woman? Absolutely. Was she a wonderful woman? Yes, she was. And favored of God, but not deity. Not deity. Mary had to be saved like any other human being has to be saved. And she understood that about her child. And that's why the Bible says a sword will pierce through your own soul also, Mary. You're going to watch your child die for the sins of the world. And so they fell down and they worshiped this young child in verse number 11. Then the Bible says they opened their treasures and presented unto him gifts. And these gifts, as I've said the last three services, were not last-minute Christmas shopping, running out and just grabbing something off the shelves. Many of you, of course, were not here on Christmas Day for the service. But I told the folks Christmas Day that Ian had a sinus infection while he was with us. Ian's our little one-year-old grandson, Hannah's boy. And she had to call the doctor in Elgin, get a prescription. And they called it in to Meadowview, Walgreens, because Meadowview doesn't close. All Walgreens doesn't close. And so I took Jason down Christmas Eve, about 6:30, 6:45, Christmas Eve evening. Went down to Walgreens to get the prescription filled, and I was shocked. I had never been in a store. I think it's my first time in a store on Christmas Eve in all the years that I've lived. And I was shocked at how many folks were in there in Walgreens just grabbing stuff off the shelves, grabbing boxes of this, boxes of that. And it was obvious that it was people that had put off to the very last minute Christmas shopping. They were just grabbing something for the sake of giving something. And my heart was saddened. One of the blessed things about giving gifts at Christmas time is thinking about it aforetime and planning on it, getting it all ready. And I felt sorry for those folks just grabbing gifts off the shelves just to have something to give on Christmas Day. No thought to it, no heart in it really. But this was not like this. When they brought the gold and they brought the frankincense and they brought the myrrh, these were well thought out gifts by this group of wise men who had studied, now watch this, studied the Old Testament scriptures about the Messiah, had learned about him from the Old Testament scriptures, and brought gifts that had a purpose. They brought gifts that meant something to that child. And we've talked about those gifts. We talked about the gold and how that gold was for a king. And Jesus was born the King of the Jews. And someday, He's going to sit and rule and reign from the throne of His father David on planet Earth and be King Jesus. They brought Him frankincense, which was used in the worship of God. Frankincense was part of a mixture of spices that they put together, equal parts, if you will, and they burned it on the altar in the temple building. And it produced a beautiful, fragrant smell. And it was used in the worship of God. If you were here last Sunday night, the Israelites were told they could never make that concoction of powder involving frankincense for themselves. It was only to be used in the worship of God. You see, that's a strange gift to bring to Jesus. No, it's not, friend, because our Bible makes it clear that that babe in the manger is God in human flesh. God in flesh, God incarnate has come down to man. In one place, the Bible says that His name shall be called Emmanuel. You know what Emmanuel means? God with us. That's exactly what He was. So they brought the frankincense because Jesus is God. They brought the gold because He's a king. And then on Wednesday afternoon, we talked about the myrrh. The myrrh was an oil from a tree in the Middle East. And it was an oily substance. And it had a sweet aroma. And it was used as a perfume. Esther anointed her body with myrrh for 6 months before she went in front of the king in the book of Esther. And Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, when Jesus' body hung on the cross, they went to the chief priest and they said, "Can we have His body?" And they said, "Yes, you can." And they prepared His body for burying. And the Bible says that they anointed His body with aloes and myrrh. Myrrh was designed as a perfume. And I suppose, as difficult as it is to do, I suppose the myrrh was used in an attempt to take away from the very sting of death. Oh, you know, folks, the Bible says that death is our enemy. Our last enemy. And death is an enemy. It really is. And you know, people said, "How's Brother Irvin doing?" I visited with him for probably an hour and a half yesterday. I was there. I'm trying to be there often to visit with him and see him. And I'll tell you what he's doing. He's hurting. That's how he's doing. 61 years together. And they never wanted to be separated. And now God has taken Donna home, and he's hurting. You say, "Do you think Brother Irvin will be back to church?" He'll be back. He'll be back. He'll be back. He's just got to work through it. He's got to work through it. And when you've come somewhere to the same place and sat in the same pew with somebody, that's what Dorothy Lewis had to go through earlier this year. It's not easy. Dorothy would sit back there and weep in church because Jack was taken from her side. And so here's myrrh. And myrrh was this oily substance that was kind of a perfume and was put on a body, I suppose, to try to take away from the sting and the hurt and the pain of death. And so by bringing myrrh to this Christ child, they recognize that Jesus Christ was not only God, He was not only King, but He was the Savior, the suffering Savior, who would go to the cross and die for the sins of the world. And His body would be anointed with myrrh. But I want to show you something else this morning about these three gifts. These three gifts give us a good picture of not only what Jesus is, King, God, and Savior, but they give us a good picture of Jesus and our doctrine, what our Bible teaches us about Jesus. Let's go back, first of all, to that first gift mentioned, the second gift mentioned in verse number 11, that gift of frankincense. That gift of frankincense recognized the fact that Jesus was, always will be God. That's what, now look folks, Jesus did not begin to exist in Matthew chapter 2 and Luke chapter 2. Jesus did not begin to exist when Mary birthed Him on this planet. Jesus has always been. As God, He is the self-existent One from everlasting past to everlasting future. Hold your finger here in Matthew chapter 2 and turn over to the Gospel of John chapter 1. The Gospel of John chapter 1. I know this is in some cases preaching to the choir, but it doesn't hurt us to be reminded this morning about our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? And look at here what it says in John chapter 1. This is the Gospel of John chapter 1. Look at the very beginning here in verse number 1. In the beginning. Does that sound familiar to you? That kind of reads like Genesis chapter 1, doesn't it? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Look at verse chapter 1, verse 1 of the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word. In my Bible, the Word has a uppercase W at the beginning of it. Is that what yours has? That means that's a personal name. That's a personal person. That's a name. Okay, a noun. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word, again, uppercase W, was with God. But not only was the Word with God, the Word was God. How about this? Well, who is this Word? This Word that in the beginning was with God. This Word that was in the beginning was God. Who is this talking about? If you drop down to verse number 14, the Bible makes it very clear. Here the Bible says, and the Word, capital W, uppercase, a personal noun, okay? And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word is none other than Jesus Christ. He is the living Word. And the Bible teaches us that Jesus was in the beginning with God, and that Jesus is God. And friend, if there's one thing that you and I must recognize in order to be saved, in order to have eternal life in heaven, we have to recognize and confess and believe and accept that Jesus is more than just a good teacher. Jesus is more than just a miracle worker. Jesus was more than just a great prophet. He is God. He is God. And the Bible tells us that there will be many in the last days that will try to teach us about another Jesus. Another Jesus. Oh, they'll call Him Jesus and they'll identify Him as the Jesus of the Bible. But they'll say that this Jesus of the Bible was just a great teacher and a great miracle worker and a great preacher, a great prophet. But He's not God. Friend, when you hear somebody talking like that, they're not talking about the Jesus identified in the Scriptures. They're talking about another Jesus, and that another Jesus cannot bring salvation to a lost soul. No, the only Jesus that can bring salvation to a lost soul is the Jesus of the Bible, who is the Son of God. God the Son. Now listen, you say, Pastor, I just can't wrap my mind completely around this whole teaching about the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. And the Bible says in 1 John that these three are one. These three are one, and yet distinctive persons in the same Godhead. You say, I can't really wrap my mind around it. And sometimes we try to use an example of an egg and how that the egg has a yolk and the egg has a white and the egg has a shell. Three distinct parts to that egg, and yet all three are necessary to have an egg. And yet even that falls short. Friend, listen, we have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You say, Pastor, I cannot comprehend and fully understand that doctrine. You know what? Neither can I. And I'm not bothered by that. I'm glad I've got a God too big for my little human mind to wrap around completely. And I don't mean to do anybody in this church service insult you in any way. But friend, they don't make an IQ in the mind of a person, the head of a person. They don't make an IQ that can fully wrap itself around all that there is to believe and understand about God. They don't make one. But you can believe it. You may not understand it, but you can believe it. You say, well, I don't believe, I don't want to understand. I don't want to believe anything that I don't understand. Then don't turn your light switch on unless you understand electricity. I can't fully explain to you how that when I flip that switch, we get light. But I believe when I flip that switch, we'll get light. Unless the bulb's out, which I despise. Don't you hate burned out bulbs, huh? Absolutely wasting space. No, you look, you are able to believe things that you can't comprehend. Can you explain the wind? You fully understand the wind? Well, I see the wind blow. You don't see the wind blow. You see the results of the wind blowing. But you believe in the wind. I want to tell you something. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you believe that He is God the Son? Do you believe that in that little body, in that child here at Matthew chapter 2, at this house where the wise men came, do you believe that in that little body is God incarnate, Emmanuel, God with us? You say, well, I can't comprehend it. I didn't ask if you can comprehend it. Can you believe it? Yes, you can. If you want to, you can believe it. That's God in that little body. His name is Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. And when they brought frankincense to that young child, they were recognizing that Jesus, that young child, is God. He has been with God from the beginning. He is God. He has always been. He is now. And He always will be God. By the way, He went on to prove that He was God through His earthly ministry. Those 3.5 years. How do you explain taking 5 pieces of bread and 2 pieces of fish and feeding 15,000 people? And having 12 basketfuls left over. They must not have been Baptist. I'll tell you that much. Oh, they must not have been. Mercy days. Huh? How do you explain that? How do you explain Him walking on the water? How do you explain Him stopping a funeral procession and raising a dead person back to life? How do you explain Him approaching the grave of Lazarus, who'd been dead for 4 days and standing there? Lazarus, come forth, and out of that grave walked that man who'd been dead for 4 days. Benny Hinn can't do that. No other man has ever had that power. That's because this wasn't just an ordinary man. This is God in human flesh. So when they brought Him frankincense, they recognized Him as God. He did not begin to exist in Bethlehem, in this little house in Jerusalem. No, He is the long, everlasting, existent One who is God. But now, wait a minute. Second thing I want to say here. I want to draw your attention back to Matthew chapter 2, to that gift called myrrh. When they brought Jesus myrrh, they were recognizing the fact that He would die on the cross. Now, watch this. When they brought Him myrrh, they were recognizing the reason, the purpose for His first coming. His first coming. They brought Him myrrh. Myrrh was used to anoint the body of those who passed away, who died. So when they brought Him myrrh, recognizing Him as the suffering Savior who would someday go to Calvary's cross and die, they were recognizing the purpose for His first coming. His first coming. People, I think, I tried to look it up the other day. Sometimes I read 600, sometimes I read 700. But there are hundreds, suffice it to say, there are hundreds of prophecies in the Old Testament detailing specific details about His first coming to earth, that birth in Bethlehem's manger. I mean detailed prophecies. Detailed prophecies. That was His first coming. When they brought Him myrrh, they gave or showed the purpose of His first coming. Jesus came to this earth in the form of that human body. Now watch this. So He could die for the sin of mankind. I'm really glad that Jesus didn't come in the body of an angel and go to the cross as an angel and die in angelic form. Because if He had done that, salvation would be available to the angelic realm. But He came in the body of a man. He was made flesh. He took upon Himself the form of a servant. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but He humbled Himself and took upon himself the form of a servant and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. When Jesus Christ went through that, what we know as the passion, when he went through the beating and the spitting and the pulling of the beard out of his face and the smacking and said, "Who?" When he went through all of that, he went through that in the body of a human being. He suffered and felt every pain, every slap, every ripping of the hair, every thorn piercing the crown of his brow. He felt that as if any man in this room would feel it. In fact, on that cross, while he was hanging there, the Roman soldiers mixed a little juice with myrrh and put a sponge in it, and then put it up to the lips of Jesus because he had cried out, "I thirst." Remember what happened? He refused it. He didn't take it. That's because in that day, myrrh was added to juice and used like an anesthetic. Took pain away. And hanging on that cross, Jesus Christ was in incredible agony. That's what the Scripture says in Philippians chapter 2 when it says he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You can't find a more barbaric, painful, agonizing death than the Roman crucifixion. Their body hung. Their ribs suppressed their lungs. They couldn't hardly breathe. They had to push their backs up that old rugged, and it wasn't some polished piece of lumber. It was a tree. A tree with bark. And pushed themselves up to get a breath and then back down again. And do you remember what had happened to Christ before he got to the cross? He had been beaten with the cat of nine tails 39 times. That long Roman whip that had nine pieces of leather off of it, and each one of those pieces of leather at the very end, a sharp piece of animal bone or something sharp that would cut. And those nine little cords wrapped around the body, and the Roman soldier would rip it off. It would literally shred a human's body. They hit him 39 times like that. Josephus said it was not uncommon for a man's insides to fall out at the scourging. Now, his back is open, wounded, bleeding, sore, shredded, torn. And to get a breath of air on that cross, he has to push himself up to get some air in his lungs. That's what the Bible talks about in Philippians 2. Even the death of the cross. Jesus Christ, God, went to the cross in a human body. Remember what he told Pilate or Herod? He said there are 12 legions of angels. All I have to do is lift an eyebrow, and those 12 legions of angels are standing ready to come here and deliver me from this cross. I love that song Lester Olof and those kids used to sing down at the lighthouse. He didn't come down, oh no, he didn't come down. 10,000 angels were camped all around. He could have called them to set him free, but he stayed on the cross for you and for me. Christ ate in a body. That's why he came the first time. Did he heal the sick? Sure. Did he feed the hungry? You bet. Did he bring gladness and cheer to people who were sorrowing? Yes. He went about doing good in that human body, but that wasn't the primary purpose for his coming in that human body. The primary purpose for his coming in that human body was to get to that cross. Do you remember his disciple Peter? When Jesus told them, "I'm going to the cross. And I'm going to die." Remember what Peter said? "Not so, Lord. No, 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 no." Remember Jesus' response? "Get thee behind me, Satan." You say, was he calling Peter Satan? No, he was recognizing the spirit that was speaking through Peter on that occasion, because the devil did not want Jesus to go to that cross, because the devil has more faith than some people on earth have. The devil understands that that death on the Calvary's cross was the sacrificial payment for man's sin. So in his body, He goes to the cross. That was the purpose for His first coming. So in the frankincense, we see Him as God, the one who has always existed. In the beginning, where He didn't begin to exist in Bethlehem's manger, He's always existed. With the myrrh, we see the reason for His first coming as a sacrificial Savior. What about the gold? That recognizes His kingship, which is a reference to His second coming. And that's what Brother Tom sang about a little bit ago. Jesus came the first time as a humble babe in Bethlehem's manger, grew up in that human body for 33 and a half years, went to the cross of Calvary, died there, shed His blood to pay the price for my sin and your sin, was buried 3 days and three nights later, walked out of that grave to prove that He was God. That was His first coming. But friend, He is coming the second time as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When He comes the second time, you say, Jesus is coming again? Oh, yes. You see, there are more prophecies about His second coming than there are about His first coming. Every one of those prophecies about His first coming was fulfilled. Every one of them. Now, let me ask, would you just be a reasonable man, a reasonable woman for just a minute? If 700 prophecies about His birth were fulfilled, do you want to gamble against more prophecies about His second coming? I don't think that's wise. Jesus is coming again. And this time when He comes, He will not come by way of a humble birth in a manger at Bethlehem. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 19, He will come riding upon a white horse and the armies of heaven with Him, friend. And they will defeat the armies that have gathered against the nation of Israel and against Christ and against God. He will put to defeat all those nations and armies. He will dismount from that horse. He'll walk, His feet will touch on the Mount Olives. He'll walk down the western slope of the Mount of Olives. He'll cross the brook Kidron. He'll walk up the eastern gate of the temple, and He'll walk in and sit down on the throne of His father David and rule and reign for 1,000 years. That's His second coming. In these gifts, we learn a lot about Jesus. We realize that He was born a king. We see that He was God. We see that He was the Savior. But more than that, we understand that He was existent with God from the very beginning. And in the myrrh, we see His first coming. And in the gold, we see His second coming. He will return to rule and reign. I don't have time this morning. My time is gone in about 3 or 4 minutes. I don't have time this morning to talk about the second coming and the kingdom and the millennial reign of Christ, other than to tell you, friend, as sure as I'm standing here and as sure as you are sitting in that pew, Jesus is coming back to this planet. I've heard for years people talk about Him coming. It's exactly what 2 Peter 3 tells us. In the last day, there will be scoffers. Where's the promise of His coming? We've heard about this for years. And this Jesus has never shown up. There'll be scoffers. The scoffers can't change truth. Truth remains. Truth endures. And truth endures scoffers' biting and critical remarks. And I want to tell you something, friend. As I said in one of the messages recently, and I'll close with this morning, I think it was last Sunday, if there is any reason for the delay, because before Jesus can come as the King, there has to be a 7-year tribulation period. And at the beginning of the tribulation period, all saved people are taken from the earth in what the Bible calls the rapture. Now listen. If that means before Jesus can come as King, there has to be a 7-year tribulation period and there has to be a rapture. You say, well, why doesn't He come? You know what 2 Peter 3 says? If there's any reason for the delay in the coming of Jesus Christ, it's because God doesn't want people to perish. God loves people, and He wants people to be saved. He wants people to... I'm talking about today. I'm talking about now, 2013 into 2014. For these many years since the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus Christ back to heaven, the gospel has been preached, printed, taught, spread, witnessed. Jesus died. Jesus was buried. Jesus rose again. Embrace Him by faith. Receive Him as your Savior. Receive the gift of eternal life that's in His death, burial, and resurrection. That's been the message for all of these years. And that continues to be the message. And it will be the message until Jesus comes in the rapture. God wants people to be saved. He wants people to be saved. And in order to be saved, you have to recognize and believe with all your heart that that little baby in the manger is God. Jesus is God. And that He died. And that He was buried. And that He rose again. And friend, if you believe those things in your heart sincerely, with your mouth, the Bible says, confession is made into salvation. You tell God, I do believe that Jesus is your Son. And I do believe that He died, was buried, and rose again so I can be saved, because I cannot save myself. And I am a sinner in need of salvation. And I, by faith, trust in Jesus as my Savior. And friend, if you will believe that in your heart and confess that with your mouth, the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. It's His promise. Now, I'm going to close with this. I said it over and over again. Salvation, eternal life in heaven, cannot be attained through anybody's religion. Put whatever tag on it you want to put on it. Tag it Baptist, tag it Catholic, tag it Methodist, tag it Pentecostal, tag it whatever you want to tag it. Religion will not get you to heaven. It is faith. Simple faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ, His death, His burial, and His resurrection. And receiving that, Him, as your only hope for heaven. These wise men's gifts were more than just last-minute Christmas shopping. They were well thought out, full of faith, sincere heart of worship gifts. Recognizing that Jesus is God. Recognizing the purpose for His first coming. And recognizing that there will be a second coming. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Thank you for listening. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed this morning. The gifts of the Magi, the wise men's gifts. Let me ask just a couple of simple questions this morning as we close the service and prepare for the invitation. Let me just ask you a question before I do. I want to encourage you just to be honest with God today. Just to be honest with God, okay? Just be honest with the Lord. Just be honest with God. How many would say, Pastor, I know that I'm saved. I know that I'm saved. I've been born again into God's family by grace through faith in a biblical experience of salvation. And I know for sure that I'm on my way to heaven. And I don't mind raising my hand and giving that testimony this morning. I'm saved and I know it. Would you just slip your hand up in the air today? If you're saved and you know it, and just be honest about it. God bless you. You may take your hands down. Now, here and there, there was a few folks that didn't have their hands up. I appreciate your honesty. I wonder who's here would say, Pastor, I didn't raise my hand just a moment ago. Because the truth is, I don't know where I will spend eternity. I don't know that I've been what the Bible calls born again. I don't know that I am what the Bible calls saved. And I didn't raise my hand a moment ago because I'm not sure. I see your hand. God bless you. Is there somebody else? I didn't raise my hand a moment ago because I didn't know. I see your hand. God bless you. God bless you. Wonderful. You take your hand down. Somebody else. You may take your hand down. God bless you. I see you. Listen. Don't miss the whole meaning of Christmas. The whole meaning of Christmas is that Jesus came to go to that cross to die. Don't you think it's time to settle the matter of your salvation? You say, I can't. Yes, you can. The Spirit of God may be drawing you right now to Jesus Christ. You feel an uneasiness in your heart. You don't understand it. I'll tell you what that is. How do you know, Pastor Angel? I've been there myself. That uneasiness in the heart, that anxiousness, That's the Holy Spirit showing you, telling you, the Bible is right and God is true and Jesus is the answer and the Lord's death, burial, and resurrection is what you need for heaven. It's the Holy Spirit trying to draw you to Jesus Christ. Why don't you let Him draw you to Christ this morning? Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Nobody's looking. A couple of three folks raised their hands, not sure that they're on their way to heaven. Why don't you slip out this morning? Come, let us take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Would you do that while we wait quietly? Nobody's looking. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Or you can come when the music plays in just a moment. But I hope that you will. Oh, listen, you want to set the angels of heaven off to rejoicing this morning. Let one soul come to Jesus Christ in salvation faith and be saved. And all the angels of heaven rejoice. I hope that you'll come. Won't you do that? Maybe some of you, the greatest Christmas present you could give your family is to trust the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior. Why don't you come and trust Christ today? He loves you. He wants you to be saved. He stands with open arms waiting for you to receive Him. Why don't you do that today? By faith, we can help you with that in just a moment. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Is there somebody here who would say, Pastor, I've not been baptized since I've been saved. Pray for me. Anybody like that here? God bless you. Is there somebody else? I've been saved but not baptized. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you've been saved and not baptized, you know this is the time and place for you to do that. You can come and we'll help you with that. Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for Jesus, for this time of the year, for Christmas, and what these gifts teach us about our Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus is God. Always has been, always will be. And Jesus came the first time to die. He's coming the second time to be King. I pray for these this morning that don't know for sure they're on their way to heaven. Would You please bring conviction and draw them to Christ is my prayer. And Lord, our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And no one's looking. Just a moment we're going to stand. And the ladies are going to begin to play. Maybe you're here this morning, you raised your hand, you're not sure that you're saved. What better time than Christmas to come and trust Christ? What better time to come and find out and know for sure that you're saved. Let's stand together, please. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. The ladies are playing the song of invitation. Would you come this morning? Let me invite you to come this morning. You raise your hand. Would you please do that? Slip out today. Come and trust the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior. Here's your opportunity. Jesus is here. He'd love to save your soul today. The Spirit of God is working on you. Amen. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Brother Tom, right in front of you there, sir. That's wonderful.